This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second hour is live, and we are always excited to talk about Georgia football with no one more excited to talk to about than Mike Griffith, who will be here in a second. Kirby Smart. Well, what did Kirby Smart have to say, and what is the shape of that program, which has only been the best in the country for the last 3 years? Let's find out. Griff, good afternoon. How's it going, and how was the weekend over there with the big game?
Yeah, pretty exciting. You know, Georgia G-Day went about as well as it could go. I mean, nobody really lost it. A tie game, a Chamber of Commerce, weather, a little stadium construction going on. They're adding on. They got the new press box, so the donors are going to be at the 50-yard line. That's going to make them really happy. I think Kirby left there seeing what he wanted to see, and that was Carson Beck. Really taking over this offense. He was able to challenge his defensive guys a little bit. That's one of the things that Kirby will do every spring. But I think things went about as well as they could go in Athens.
Yeah, by the way, where are they going to put the media with the donors getting the 50-yard line suits?
Well, we've got a really strategic location in the corner of the end zone. So we're going to have a very unique angle on the field that will enable us to present some things that the people watching on television to see the 50-yard line shot don't get. So I think that's going to help us out and give us some new angles for our stories.
Not to get off the subject, but is that the new norm around college football?
Sure.
For the media to be put in a cardboard box and moved down to the limelight?
Well, I mean, you know, let's be honest. I mean, this is a sport that's built on money right now, and that premium seating is important. We saw it in basketball. You want the boosters on the floor. Those seats go for more money. You want the boosters in the middle of the stadium. I mean, these are the people that are funding the program. And so they get the preferential seating, and I understand that. And, you know, a lot of these schools now have their own media departments and school websites. And obviously, you know, there's tremendous coverage on the SEC network or ESPN or the Big Ten network, whatever. And so it is what it is. And no complaints here. I like going to football games, and you can still get a good feel for things. You can still talk to the people. The view's not quite as good, but if you know what you're looking for, it really doesn't make much of a difference.
So Griff, on that, you saw the game. You've been there all the time. So what are you looking for from this program? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to come up with a question that does away with last season, because it was really such an amazing year, except for a couple of plays in one game. But what is Georgia trying to do to be in a better position to win it all next year?
Well, I mean, this team's going to go as far as Carson Beck takes them, Paul. And Carson looked really good. I mean, this is a guy who was a first-year starter last year. You know, maybe didn't extend as many plays, maybe didn't take quite as many chances. But to be fair, the Georgia model offensively has always been about efficiency. They've always had a dynamic and strong defense to back them up. I'm not so sure that's going to be the case. I think the defense is still going to be solid and good, but you lose three guys out of your secondary. You got some young guys playing linebacker there. I'm not really sure what to say about the defensive line yet. I think Georgia's going to go into next season feeling like they need to score more points. They've got a great offensive line, probably one of the top two or three offensive lines in the nation. Trevor Etienne may be the most impactful transfer in the league. Watching him Saturday, I mean, the juice this guy has and this deceptive power, his ability to run through tackles, catch the ball, versatility, kind of shades of DeAndre Swift, if you remember DeAndre Swift at Georgia, a real dynamic playmaker. And then on the perimeter, you know, this is still an area, Paul, if you were going to go for a wish list. I mean, who doesn't want a dynamic breakaway receiver like an A.D. Mitchell or a Ladd McConkey? I don't know that Georgia has that. I will say Dominic Lovett is a guy that transferred from Missouri last year, was solid but not spectacular. He looked really good, and I think he'll be the guy that Carson could complete a pass to in his sleep, so to speak. I think the key, though, is Carson Beck. I think he's going to be one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the nation. If Georgia takes care of business and makes the playoff, he should be a Heisman Trophy finalist. He's the most talented quarterback that Georgia's had since Matthew Stafford.
Well, that's quite a statement. No Bowers, no McConkey. You mentioned Mitchell. There's a lot to replace, but again, we're talking Georgia. Let me broaden the scope a little bit, Mike, because you're so good about everything in the SEC, and I know you speak around different parts of the country. You're on a lot of shows. Just what are the stories that you sense are the hottest to be following as we turn away from spring football here at the end of next weekend and get ready for summer?
Well, I mean, it's the transfer portal, and listen, that's not sexy. That's not what we signed up for. That's not why people have banners on the wall. That's not what the sports fan wants. But here we are, and the transfer portal is back open again. Now, if we flash back to the winter transfer portal period, we saw Ohio State pilfering starters from Alabama, a center. We saw the running back from Ole Miss, Quinshon Judkins, at Ohio State. We saw Ohio State take Alabama's best player, Caleb Downs, best defensive player. Now here we come into the spring. And this is the curious part to me, because I think that Greg Sankey is probably one of the greatest thinkers among all executives and, I don't know, not just sports, but just CEOs in general. He had to get some pressure, Paul, for the SEC to have this rule where if kids transfer within the SEC after the spring period, they are not immediately eligible. Hence, if an SEC player wants to transfer somewhere and be immediately eligible, he would have to leave the league. That would weaken the league. So you ask yourself, well, why did they make this rule? And the SEC, this is a conference rule, made this rule for these schools to protect these schools from one another, from stealing from one another. But the overall result is that the league is going to lose some talent. And to me, this is one I'm going to sit back and watch. I think this is something that will probably be discussed in Destin. Is this a good rule? Of course, by the time we discuss it, Paul, they may have another rule in place. This thing is so doggone fluid. It's hard to keep up with. It's hard to have a game plan when the rules keep changing. And that's what's happened to college football. I think it's frustrating for not just the fans. I think it's frustrating for the coaches as well, even as they have to operate in this world. You don't hear Kirby complain about it a lot. He basically, threw his arms up and said, look, I don't have control over this. He said, I don't have anybody's phones tapped. I don't know if anybody's tampering with the guys. They either want to be at Georgia or they don't. And that's where Kirby left it. Now, wish list wise, the reality is Georgia doesn't need a whole lot. I mentioned if you could get a dynamic breakaway receiver, well, who wouldn't take that? If you could get an impactful defensive tackle, well, my goodness, there's maybe three or four of them in the country. But really all they need is another quarterback, scholarship quarterback, and to be the second team or third team guy. Kirby's built this team pretty well, Paul. They're pretty stable. They're pretty solid. And each of these programs around the country now, if you're looking for difference maker guys to win games, you haven't done your job. I don't know how many programs that are in championship contenders are in that position. I don't think many. I know Alabama certainly looked good offensively at times. That you talk about what people are talking about. I think Kalen DeBoer achieved what he wanted. A lot of people talking about Alabama football after their running backs looked so good.
Talking to Mike Griffith live from the stadium. Mike, you mentioned the spring meetings. It's hard to believe we're 5 weeks away from that, where Texas and Oklahoma will finally have a legitimate seat at that table. Just as we look ahead to that and the summer, you mentioned that one issue, but what else do you think is going to be discussed either front and center or around Starbucks at that hotel in Destin?
scheduling. There was such a push for the 9-game schedule, and there was such a push for a schedule that would allow these teams to play everybody else in the league over the period of 4 years. That was the objective, right? To play different teams every year so teams would have a more balanced schedule over 4 years. And then they came out with a schedule this year where they just flopped it. Well, as I understand it, that is a short-term solution. That's the fair thing to do. It gets you through the current contract. But moving forward, does the SEC try to gain value by adding a 9th game and making their contract more valuable with another conference game? Or do they stand pat with 8, recognizing that if you go to 9 games, you may not get as many teams in the playoff? See, what we don't know is how this college football playoff committee, and I don't know, is the CEO of Yahtzee part of the, I don't even know who's on it anymore. I don't know who's on. There are some very legitimate people on this committee. It changes. But these are the people that are deciding the fortunes of college football. Do they take a three-loss SEC team over a two-loss ACC team? And the answer is, we'll let you know. There's no metrics going in. There's no rule book. We don't know how they're going to be judged. Will there be recency bias? How about difficulty of schedule outside of your league schedule? What about the difficulty of your league? And so this is where Sankey and the presidents and the athletic directors have to huddle and say, what is best for the SEC? Yes, a 9-game schedule would seem appealing. But at the same time, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going to diminish the value of SEC teams come college football playoff selection committee time. And that's the hard thing to really judge. And when I look at Georgia's schedule and I see that they're playing at Alabama and they're playing at Kentucky and they're playing Clemson neutral site and they're playing at Texas and they're playing at Ole Miss, I mean, if they lost 3 games, would they be a playoff team? I don't know. I'm not sure. 2 losses? Not sure. There's also the question of the loser of the SEC championship game. How do you not play in the SEC championship game and have it better than a team that played in the SEC? Oh, wait a minute, Alabama 2017. But in reality, in today's world, how do you penalize a team for playing in the SEC championship game in the seedings for the college football playoffs? So I think those are a couple of the items that I've heard bantered around a little bit, Paul. And then I think that the league will, you know, work and attempt to solve. But again, so fluid between now and then, I think that plenty of other things could come up. But right now, I think that scheduling issue, moving past these next couple seasons, is something that's going to be on the table.
And we will see Griff down there on the beach in just a couple of weeks, and we can't wait. We'll talk to him before that, of course. Mike Griffith joining us from Athens here on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll get to your phone calls in a moment. More guests a little bit later on talking about the portal, which is now open, and we're coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Come back. Great to have all of you here. And Jeannie is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Jeannie.
Good afternoon.
Hey there.
I have a question for you that none of my locals can answer, but has there ever been a coach hired to a basketball program that comes with no players remaining on the team when he gets here?
My uneducated answer would be no. Really, until this era, there's no way that could have happened. But if there was ever somebody to start from scratch, it would be John Calipari.
And that's what we're certainly hoping, and we certainly think it's going to be a great experience. And I just wonder if you've ever noticed on the second syllable of your last name being Baum. Are you familiar with Baum Walker Stadium here in Fayetteville, Arkansas?
I most certainly am. I've been there. I've thought about that. Spelled, is it spelled the same way? I think it is.
Yes, it is. B-A-U-M. Yep. Yeah. We have games tonight, so that's where I'll be. But I appreciate you taking my call and trying to solve the mystery. I guess we're starting a first here.
Well, Jeannie, have fun at the Baum tonight. Appreciate it. Let's continuing with more calls. Tony is in Birmingham. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I got a couple of questions for you because I tell you, I'm kind of fed up with hearing coaches, if players don't want to be here, you know, I just throw my hands up, let them leave. And fans, everybody's screaming about the portal. Who created the transfer portal, Paul?
Well, that was created from the coaches with assistance from the NCAA.
So why are we blaming the players for taking advantage of the rules that were set in place for them?
I agree with you.
That it boggles my mind. And for the fans, they all hate the portal until the portal is coming back because they're getting players out of the portal.
You're right.
And I'm just sick and tired of coaches complaining about the portal and NIL. Players didn't create these collectives.
No, they didn't. And you know, I'm a big believer. I think the portal is an opportunity for players. I mean, there are always unintended consequences, but so what?
I do, Paul, but you know, and I'm a little bit older. I'm about like you, and I remember you from your – used to talk to you in your WERC days here on 960 in Birmingham.
Oh, yeah.
But you know as well as I do, back in the 70s, there were coaches before the 85-player limit who were stockpile players with no intentions of playing them just so other coaches couldn't get them.
Well, Tony, the most famous guy coached about 59 miles from where you are down in Tuscaloosa with Bear as his nickname.
Exactly. And my last thing, and I'm going to say this, Paul, it just amazes me when I hear people talk about the NIL part of this thing. With all the billions of dollars that have now floated around in college football, money never became a problem to the people who weren't getting any. Decided they wanted some.
You're right. And Tony, I'll try to be careful how I put this, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. Players had no rights, no authority to do anything. The system was geared against them. They would have to sit out for a year, maybe longer, depending on circumstances. And this is a great time for young people. If they want to go somewhere else, they go somewhere else. And the guys making $12 million a year have to deal with it. So what?
Exactly, and I think it's a wonderful thing that kids have an opportunity. Is it a perfect system? No, but I think it's a great system for kids to have an opportunity because you know as well as I do, new coaches come in. People don't talk about this when those players on those one-year scholarship deals are told that, you know, we don't have a place for you here in our new system.
No, the players are sent packing all the time.
All the time, but that's never reported.
Some of it is that the media is very lazy and, you know, coaches, you've been around, coaches will complain about anything if you stick a microphone in front of them.
Hey, if it's not to their advantage, they're always going to complain.
Of course. And by the way, there are some sports that are worse than others, but.
There are. But, you know, Paul, it, like I said, it just amazes me that, you know, that in this time and era of football, you either adapt or you get left behind. And that's
right.
With any change that comes into the sport.
You are dead on. 7-8
years ago, everybody complained about the fast pace of the college game and how it was going to be ruin the game. And now everybody's running a hurry of offense.
No, I remember talking to Nick Saban 10 years ago, and he said this was the end of college football, the way all these spread offenses were running. Look what he did.
Exactly, and he adapted. So you adapt or you get left behind, and you take your $40, $50 million buyout and go on vacation.
Well
said. Appreciate you taking my call, Paul.
Hey, thank you. Always great to hear from you. You bet. Joey is up next. Hey, Joey.
Hey, Paul, let me tell you what. I thought Jim was a bad caller. Then you had a bad caller until you put Griff up there and want to talk about Georgia. That's the worst caller I've heard in my life. I can't stand that dude. When he gets beat by Clemson, then he turn around and gets beat by Alabama, he's going to have to enter the transfer portal and go somewhere else because his team ain't that good.
Joey, what's not good?
I said Georgia ain't that good.
Well, I don't know why you would. Why would you say that when you consider that Georgia hasn't lost a regular season game what in 4 years?
When's the last one they lost?
Well, they haven't lost one since 2020, I don't think.
Okay, 2020, but they can't win the SEC, or can they?
Well, they've
Did
been
they
okay.
lose that?
I mean, they've won two national championships in the last 3 years. They've come in
yeah,
fourth.
Yeah, I understand that part. But we stopped them from winning that three
hey,
in a row.
Joey, hey, Joey, in the last 3 years, how many championships has Alabama won?
We haven't.
And you're criticizing Georgia?
Yeah, I can't stand Georgia. They got a dog up there. They really ain't got a good bite yet. They ain't got seven of them. I know that.
They're working on it.
Well, we gonna work. Clemson's gonna work on them the first game.
Yeah.
We'll see what they really got.
So, Joey, who do you think will win a national championship sooner, Georgia or Alabama?
The honest God truth, I think Alabama will. I think they're underestimating this coach we got.
How are they underestimating him? He's ranked as the second best coach in the country.
Well, I think Alabama's going to be right there with him. And I think Alabama will win it before Georgia will.
So, one more question, Joey. Given the choice, if you could have Kalen DeBoer as your head coach or Kirby Smart, which one would you choose?
Well, I have to go with Kalen DeBoer. You know why? Because Kirby Smart was a stab in the back, and he went to Georgia. He could have stayed at Alabama, had a good job.
Joey, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just, you know, you asked that question. I'm just saying, if he
could
have
I just want to make sure you're not under medical care right now after that answer.
No, man, I'm good to go. I just can't stand that Griff. Every time he gets on there, he just messes everything up. I don't even want to watch TV no more.
So let me make sure I understood you correctly. You said you would take Kalen DeBoer as your coach over Kirby Smart.
Oh, yeah, I would, because the way I see it, he left, he's done. He's just like everybody else. When he left Alabama, you ain't no good no more.
Okay, Joey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very, very much. We will take a short break. I'm going to have a healthy drink here during the timeout, and we'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, busy afternoon, and let's continue here with Greg up next in California.
Awesome. Awesome. Fourth-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
Just want to preface by saying, Paul, hope your day's going well, and you have an awesome staff that works for you, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, Paul, normally I call and I talk about the demise about the Pac-12. Again, I played at Oregon State University a long time ago. I'm in my 50s now. Forgive me. I played under Coach Jerry Pettibone. He was the head coach, he was a coach under, I think it's Wilkinson over at Oklahoma. Make a long story short, whatever the case is.
Bud Wilkinson,
what I want to get to is to break the monotony. instead of talking football and the demise of the Pac-12, I want to ask you, Paul, what's the best darn restaurant you have gone to? You've traveled a lot. And what's the best darn dish that you've had? Normally, you just cut me off at the end and hang up. But I'd like, if you don't mind, give me a reply, a couple other things, because I happen to enjoy food, sir. And thank you for your time. I appreciate
Greg,
it, Paul.
Thank you very much. I'm gonna let that question linger, because I don't want to give any biases. But I think that's something we can let hang for a couple of days, if not weeks, and let people throw up some ideas to pass along to our friend, because everyone has personal favorites. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in next with Carol, who is in Lexington. Hey, Carol.
Hey, Paul. I just want to say, I have a few things I want to say, but first of all, I love your show. My husband and I look forward to it all the time. We've been watching it for years. But let me just first say, I grew up in the SEC. I grew up in Tupelo, Mississippi. I'm an Ole Miss graduate and fan. Was in the Pride of the South band at Ole Miss, the Rebelette, the Dancers. I mean, my whole family's Ole Miss people. Looking so forward to Ole Miss's football season, you know, coming up with Lane Kiffin. I think it's going to be great. Never thought I could cheer for another SEC team. But my husband and I moved to Lexington 5 years ago, and it's hard to live in Lexington and not get excited about the basketball. Of course, you know, it hasn't been too exciting since we got here. But we've been going to games, and I have learned to cheer for the Kentucky Wildcats. And we attended the press conference for Coach Pope the other day, and it was the most awesome thing I've ever seen. And it was just evident that the fans here in Kentucky needed a change, and I'm happy for them, because it was just electric in there. I just have never seen fans rally together like that. And I just wanted to say it's awesome, and it's awesome now that I can, you know, cheer on another SEC team. I didn't think I could, but you know, it was just something to see. And also, I wanted to say, throw this in there, Paul. I love your song, your theme song. That it's just the coolest song ever. And I'm just hoping, I know you got to add some, you know, I know you got to add two more teams in there. I hope you don't change the song up.
Yeah,
too much.
I hope we don't either, Carol. I know that there's a group right now working on that, of which I have no influence on. But if they don't stay with the original theme, I will be very upset, and we'll probably
I'll
do it myself.
So. And Paul, it's hard to beat that song. That's pretty good. Well, I was just hoping they might add.
Here's the problem, though, Carol. We're actually letting a musical artist interfere with a masterpiece, I will hold my breath.
Yeah.
But if Taylor Hicks does not stay true to form, I will personally sing the song every day on the show instead of him.
Well, I knew it was Taylor Hicks, and he's really good. I just hope he gets the word that that's
well.
Everybody
knows. Let
that.
Me assure it's you, he just got it right now.
Oh, okay.
Because only thing I want different in the song is the two new schools. I don't think you can really. I mean, other than going in and redoing it. This is a song that people really do like, especially young people. I know I have friends of mine who tell me their kids don't even know who we are and what we're doing here, but as soon as the song comes on, they start singing it.
Well, I know. It makes you want to dance, and I don't care how many times I hear it.
Yeah.
I get excited. I love it. I just hope he'll add.
Well, I will see him in about 2 weeks, so I'll be able to give an update. So, hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Great to hear from you. Dell is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dell.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
We are doing great.
Yeah, I just want to comment on Joy the Idiot's call from Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? DeBoer over Smart? I guarantee you right now, if you ask, 75% of Alabama fan base would take Smart. Okay? That's the dumbest answer I've ever heard in my life. And Joey, I guarantee you, Georgia will win at least two more natties before Alabama even sniffs one. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably, I was curious how he would respond, but he responded on brand.
Yeah, you know what? And another thing, Joey, there's a button on your remote. It's called mute, so you can't hear yourself talking on TV. You probably like to hear yourself talk, bro, but that was the dumbest ass call I've ever heard in my life. Thank you, Paul. Have a good day.
Thank you, Dale. And this is one of the best calls I've heard in a long time. Todd is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
You're doing great.
First-time caller, long-time listener, been around for a while. My first question before I get to what I was going to talk about is, did you have your healthy drink after Joey's call?
I looked down, and Randy must have gotten to the bourbon before me because it was all empty.
That's funny because all these people calling in about Joey. But my question is that, so as a Tennessee grad, I'm in Tennessee too, and I know you are. Is this the most exciting time in Tennessee athletics that you can remember as far as everything across the board? I mean, I know the Peyton Manning years were obviously really good, and the national championship in football, the Bruce Pearl years in basketball, and the Pat Summitt years in Lady Vols basketball. But what do you think now about what's going on as far as everything?
Yeah, I do feel like it's a renaissance. The football program is in its best shape. You know, I would say 20 years. And, you know, the basketball doesn't get enough credit, but, I mean, we're talking about one or two terrible official calls of Tennessee going to the Final Four. So I'm with you on that. I think it's an amazing time to be a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I mean, Rekia Jackson goes number four last night in the WNBA draft. Basketball team, another Elite Eight. You know, just all the things that are going on. I mean, the spring game was this weekend. Our baseball team sweeps LSU, who was national championships last year. Me and my son went to Omaha last year, you know, and watched the Tennessee baseball team play, and I think they're as good as this year as they have been. You know, just think that everything's really just going in the right direction. Lady Vols get a new coach. Maybe things are going to change as far as their expectations, but I just wanted to hear what you thought about Tennessee and being a Tennessee guy. You know, I mean, I think it's a great time to be a Tennessee fan across the board.
Well, I'm in total agreement with you. Thank you very, very much. AC is up next. How are you?
I'm good, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Mr. Feinbaum, you did a great job last night. You asked Elliot some tough questions. This is what I like about you. You just start asking those you need to put them in the spot, Mr. Feinbaum. So how did you do it? Did someone tell you to do it right after my call? What did you do?
No, I'm fortunate that we're not told what to do during the show. It's usually after.
I thought your cheerleader was going to tell you, go ahead, say this, say that. Put him in a tough spot.
Well, I think it's easier to question someone like that, AC, when you genuinely don't like them.
Well, sure. I mean, I know you don't like them, which is why you ask me tough questions, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's personal with you. It's not.
I have nothing personal against you either. That's the thing. You need to ask your regular callers. I think they're used to. You've got to ask them more tough questions the way you come after me. I know you don't like me. I know you want to ask me tough questions. This is why I love you, man.
Well, I know you can handle it, AC. You're a tough guy.
I don't think anyone is tough unless they want to act tough. I mean, you're tough too, if that's your definition.
I'm not sure what the definition is, but I do thank you for your call. Charlie is up next in Georgia. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I agree that Kirby Smart is the best coach in the country. I don't know what that other guy was thinking, but I wanted to shift gears a minute and ask you about Tennessee women's basketball. What are your thoughts about Tennessee firing Kelly Harper and hiring Kim Caldwell?
Well, Charlie, I've had it explained to me from people up there, but I will offer it's still puzzling because you knew what you had in Kelly Harper. She may not have been a Hall of Fame coach yet, but she had a good program, and you've hired someone that in many ways is a mystery.
I would agree with you. I'd take Kelly Harper at Georgia in a minute. I think the Caldwell lady has probably got a lot of potential, but I think Tennessee may have made a mistake there.
Well, it is a risky move. I appreciate the program saying, you know what, we want better, and we're not going to satisfy for good, but it's a complete roll of the dice. And but that's hiring. It doesn't matter whether you're hiring for a service station or a athletic department position like head women's basketball coach. It's a very difficult thing to get right. A lot of times they do not. We'll be back. More to come right after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back as we continue here, a lot of calls are coming in. G is up next. Hey, G, how are you?
Hey, Paul, I'm doing good today. How are you doing, my friend?
We are doing great.
Look, Paul, I want to talk about Joey that called in earlier saying that DeBoer was a better coach than Kirby. Mr. Joey, look at their resume. Who's won two natties and who haven't? Yeah, DeBoer got a good resume. He's a good coach. I give him that much credit. But, I mean, I know it's all about the brand. I mean, you know, so you want to throw Kirby under the bus because he left Alabama to take the Georgia job. But, hey, man, no reality. You must be getting ready for one of those Doobie. Are you already at the Doobie concerts because Doobie Brothers concert are either at Cat Daddy's house drinking too much shine because it's one of the two. Because that's Alabama funny. Basketball team will probably win a natty before the football team will again.
Maybe right.
What do you think about that, Paul?
Well said,
I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm trying to get into the caller bracket next year, so I got to get my call.
Gee, you're on. Let me. You're automatic next year, okay? I will. You're in, and you're my, and I'm pulling for you because you are a great caller to this show.
Hey, Paul, you know, some of the guys were at the dialysis the other day. We was talking because they don't like when they hear people calling in saying that your show is going bad and all this and everything. And they like, man, they want to know who's calling your show bad because they want to talk to them and tell them, hey, leave Mr. Firebomb alone because, hey, you all we got. You like medicine to us, and we love you, man. And don't let nobody tell you that your show is going down. You know, yeah. Jim, you may have been a good caller back in the day, and I miss you because I came in 2015. But right now, I'm telling you, Paul, your show is on fire. So well, you have a good day, Paul.
Gee, you take care of yourself, and tell everybody in dialysis, thank you very much for saying that.
Yes, sir. You have a good one.
Can you imagine? I mean, every time he calls, it inspires me because I've had too many friends, and I know many of you have as well, who have gone through dialysis. There are very few things tougher. And to have that kind of spirit and to sit around and take shots at callers on this show inspires all of us. Okay, we had a call a minute ago from Joey. And Joey, do you realize how upset you made some people?
Hey, I'm seeing it right now. But let me tell you what, Paul. Now, if I was, I ain't no betting man, but if I was a betting man and you put me on the spot, and what coach would win more, yeah, it would be Kirby Smart. But I got to – look, I sat for 10 years, and I watched my team go to the dump. And I finally got somebody, Nick Saban, brought them back to the promised land. Okay? I'm not going to – I don't know if this coach will win or not, but Kirby is the best. But you tell that one from Colorado, he got Coach Prime. You tell me when the last time Colorado won something.
Well, I think it was 1990.
That's what I'm talking about. I went 10 years, and I broke many of TVs, but I ain't got a break no more when Nick Saban got there.
Well, but Joey, I'm really curious about this, and we had a guest on earlier about Kalen DeBoer, and I like him, but I'm just trying to understand why, other than the fact that he's wearing an Alabama cap, you believe so greatly in him.
Well, I am diehard. If you see inside my house, everything I got, my lighter that I light my cigarettes with, everything I've got is maroon. It's in my blood bad. But my coach is my coach. That's who I got. But if I was a betting man, yeah, I ain't no betting man. I'd go with Cover Smart.
Okay, so Joey, what you're basically saying here is that your previous call made no sense.
Well, you put me on the spot, and I had to just go with my coach.
Hey, Joey, Joey, Alabama football, it's a university. You're part of a fan base. You're not part of a cult. So
yeah, but also nobody's played no game yet.
Well, no, but if you gave an honest answer, I don't think Kalen DeBoer is going to make you drink his blood.
No, it ain't gonna happen that way either. But that's all.
But Joey, you will admit how stupid you sounded in that call. Would that
be? Yes, that's the reason I called back.
So you're admitting
I would have took Kirby
Smart. Stupid. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you might as well, because that's about what everybody else say I am.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.